Well, hey, and welcome to the Gawler Uniting Church podcast. I'm Josh Shearer, the lead pastor for our church. I hope this message encourages you and builds your faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If we can help you in any way, please reach out at hello@gawleruniting.org.au. Enjoy the message.
Our Bible reading today comes from Matthew chapter 11, verses 1 to 6. After Jesus had finished instructing his 12 disciples, he went on from there to teach and preach in the towns of Galilee. When John, who was in prison, heard about the deeds of the Messiah, he sent his disciples to ask him, "Are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else?" Jesus replied, "Go back and report to John what you have heard and seen. The blind receive sight, the lame walk. Those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor. Blessed is anyone who does not stumble on account of me." For the Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Well, hello and welcome to everyone who's watching online today or listening to the podcast. It's great that you could join us. If you don't know me, my name's Angus, and today I have the privilege of closing out our four-week series called Recalculating, and it's all about what happens when life doesn't go according to plan. But before I jump into the Word, would you pray with me? Father God, I thank you for the honour and the privilege it is to deliver your Word today. I pray that everyone listening would feel encouraged by my message, that your Spirit will be stirring within them, giving them hope. God, I pray that as I speak, it would be your words speaking through me, that it wouldn't be my wisdom, but it would be yours. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Well, I'm sure that most people listening or watching right now have some kind of social media account. If you're a little bit younger, then you probably have a couple. Some people love social media, other people hate it. I've even seen people talk about how much they hate social media on social media. But I think social media has really proven itself to be useful recently in this season. We can keep in touch with friends and it's allowed us to stay connected. For our church especially, Facebook has really proven its worth. It's given us a place where people can access our services and it's allowed us to connect with people while we can't gather. Some of you are probably even watching on Facebook right now. But despite all this good that social media has done recently, I'm still finding myself to be a little bit tired of it. For me personally, it just seems to be doing more harm than good. When I look through social media at the moment, I'm seeing all these people I went to school with, and they're just achieving all these goals that I thought I would be as well. I see them buying or building their own houses. Some of them are getting engaged or even married. Some of them, they've finished their uni degrees and they're working full-time at their dream job. And then there's me. I changed uni degrees halfway through last year, and so I'm almost back to square one, and I've still got 2 or 3 years left before I'm qualified. I still live at home with my dad, and I'm just not in any position to be moving at any time soon. So, Dad, if you're watching, I'm sorry, but you're stuck with me for a little while longer. All these big life goals my old classmates seem to be achieving, I'm still a long way away from. I don't remember what I imagined my future would look like when I finished high school, but I definitely didn't envision myself where I am now. Sometimes I look back and I feel like I haven't made any progress at all over the last few years. I'm just not where I hoped I would be. I'm sure some of you listening might feel the same way right now, or maybe you've felt this way at some point before in your life. Maybe you've been struggling with work, you've been really trying to get that promotion or even a new job, and you just can't seem to make it. You just can't seem to afford that house or a new car. Maybe you're like me and you're seeing all these people seemingly get ahead in life when you were at the same point just a few years ago. Maybe you've always wanted to have a family, but you're struggling with singleness or divorce or infertility. At some point, every one of us has had an image of where we wanted to be at a certain time, but we just didn't get there. With COVID-19, this is a reality that a lot of us are facing right now. Timelines have had to be pushed back weeks, months, even years. Some of us had hoped it would blow over in a few weeks, but the season just keeps getting longer and longer. Only in the last few weeks have we started to see any kind of normalcy return to the world, and even then it's been too cold to go out anywhere. But regardless of whether COVID-19 actually happened, or if it didn't, this is a feeling we all go through, and if you haven't yet, I'd argue that you will eventually. And during this time, it can be really hard to see God. It can be hard to discern what He wants us to do during this season, and some of us might even be asking why we're in this position to start with. This is exactly what John the Baptist dealt with in the passage Mel just read out before. We see him in prison asking these same questions that we ask when we just don't seem to be where we hoped we would be. I think he has every right to be asking these questions. He spent his entire life preparing Israel for Jesus. There are numerous prophecies about John coming before the Lord to prepare the way. In some translations, he's even described as an angel. This is the same John that leapt for joy in his mother's womb when Mary was pregnant with Jesus. The same John that said, "One is coming who is more powerful than I am, and I'm not even worthy to untie his sandal straps." This John, who was prophesied about and spent years doing God's work, preaching the gospel, found himself in prison. In my eyes, it's understandable about why he would be having some feelings of doubt. He's just not where he hoped he would be. And so he sends his disciples to Jesus, and he asks if he can still put hope in him. He says, "Can I hope that you're still the Messiah?" John most likely had hope that if he adhered to God's calling and vocation on his life, living out his calling as someone who prepared the way for Jesus, he would live a life without trouble. He was being obedient so God would keep him safe. And this is the mindset that most of us would have as well. It's the way society tells us, if you do what you're told, then you get your desired outcome. You get what you do. It's not always the case, but that's the general narrative that we all follow. It's the one we all believe in. But this isn't the formula that God follows. While it very much might be the case that God blesses you in your life, and I really believe He does and He will, I think it's much more likely that your life would look like a long story of fulfillment and purpose rather than just a bucket list of accomplishments being checked off on your list. Because God cares more about making us fulfilled than He does about making us happy. And while it's true that God loves to see us happy and He loves to make us happy, He shares in our joy, He knows at the same time that the only way we'll be truly fulfilled is when we choose to put our hope in Him rather than the things of this world. Now, I'm not a dad, but I imagine married parents would agree with me when I say that sometimes sacrificing the happiness of your child isn't a bad thing when there's something much better on the horizon. I remember my parents would always tell me not to snack during the day if we were having a good dinner later. And it never made me happy because I would see these donuts sitting on the counter that just wanted me to eat them, but they wouldn't let me. I would never be happy with that. But that nice, big, juicy serving of roast I'd get later on, it always made me so much happier than that donut ever could. And that's exactly what God wants for us. He doesn't want us to be chasing those fleeting, temporary blips of happiness. He wants us to experience a full and complete joy. And so I ask you this question. Where is your hope? When you look to your future right now, in 10, 20 years, what do you see? What are you hoping for? Is God in that picture? I'm not saying it's a bad thing to hope for a nicer car or for 7 digits in your bank account. But if that's where all your hope lies, what will happen if it doesn't come to pass? What will happen if you work your butt off at a company for years, going for that dream position you've always wanted, but the company collapses? Or it goes under? What will happen if you've put all your hope and energy into having a family and then find out you're infertile? I'm not trying to shame or discourage anyone when I say these things, because this is something I'm struggling with too. One of my biggest dreams in life is to become a father, and so I'm asking myself these same questions. If I come to that stage of my life and for whatever reason fatherhood just isn't on the table, what will I do? Will my hope for the future just be completely shaken? I don't know. But one thing I do know for sure is that if I have my hope in God, then there will always be hope. The hope in Jesus we have as Christians, Paul writes about in his letter to the Thessalonians. He says, "Brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death, so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again. And so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him." Our hope as Christians lies in the resurrection of Jesus. That when we die, we will be risen alongside Jesus and spend eternity with him in paradise. But what do we do when we find ourselves in these situations where we're just really disappointed with the outcome and we're just not where we hoped we would be? Because we're human, and it's just so easy for us to get distracted by shiny things like a better job or more money. It's just inevitable that we'll end up in situations where things just didn't go the way we hoped. And you know what? That's okay. Because if we go back to the passage, John brings his doubt before Jesus. And Jesus didn't rebuke him. He didn't curse him out or have a go at him for not having faith. But he simply said, "Look at what I'm doing. I'm doing everything I said I would. I'm giving sight to the blind. I'm healing people. I'm giving them hope. I'm doing exactly what I promised," which means that you can hope in me too. So when we find ourselves in these moments of doubt, just thinking, what went wrong? We can have confidence in the fact that we can turn to God and we can bring our disappointment to him. We can tell God what we're upset about. We don't need to be afraid to hold back, but we can tell God what we're really feeling in the depths of our heart. Because they're the prayers that God loves. In my experience, some of the most powerful psalms in the Bible are the ones where the author is just lying their soul bare before God, saying how they feel forsaken and abandoned. So God doesn't want us to shy away from these feelings of disappointment. Instead, he wants us to embrace these moments, to use them as opportunities to really enrich and grow deeper in our relationship with him. And then to come out the other side of that grief with a new, recalculated hope, so that once again our faith is in its rightful place in God. Because I know for a fact that if you and I, if we put our faith in God, no matter what happens, our lives will be filled with purpose and meaning. And if your hope isn't in God, that's okay. Because like I just said, we don't get it right all the time. Even John in the passage, the one prophesied about in the Old Testament, was struggling. And Jesus invited him to recalculate his hope, to put it back into him. And Jesus extends that invitation to us as well. So again, I ask you, where is your hope? If you've realized that your hope isn't in God, then he invites you to shift gears and to put that hope in him. So that when plans do go awry, because they will, we don't have to stay in that disappointment. But we can turn to God, and we can have full and complete faith that he won't let us down. That we can have our hope in his eternal promise of giving us a life of purpose and fulfillment. Not just in this life on earth, but in the next as well. So would you pray with me? Father God, we thank you for the hope that you give us through your Son, Jesus. We thank you that you sent him to die for us so that we no longer have to be slaves to guilt or shame or disappointment. But rather we can hold fast to the truth that you give to us in your word. That you love us. That you don't want us to do life alone. That we can trust you. So God, I pray that as we go into our weeks, that we would learn to trust you. That as we start this process of putting our hope in you, we know we won't get it right all the time. And I pray that we wouldn't feel discouraged about that, but rather would just feel the full power of your grace and your love for us. So that we can continue to put our hope into you. We continue to have faith in your promises. And we can just be so excited for a life of meaning and purpose. And that we can join you in the next life. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Well, I hope you enjoyed the message. And if you want to connect with us further, you can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/Gawler Uniting Church. Thanks and see you next time.